This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to continuing coverage in the courtroom in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. Let's take you into segment two now.
Show you what's been marked as, for the purposes of this hearing, as Exhibit 312, and see if you recognize this document.
Yes, this is the actual the expense check that we received in the Ferris matter.
Okay.
And from Wilson Law Group.
Just quick flip through it and just tell me generally what's in that packet.
The rest of the packet is our deposit, which is an internal record, our client cost report, which matches that expense check. Then the rest of it, the second, what I'm looking at right now is a check made payable to Richard Alexander Murdaugh Esquire for $192,000, and it references Ferris fees.
Okay, keep going.
Next page is the deposit where it says Bank of America deposit only, and it looks like ACH. That looks like, it actually looks to me like LX initials, and then it says Bank of America.
Is there a series of emails after that?
Series of emails starts with Vicki Lyman informing Annette Griswold about the fact that their bosses had received the fee back when the disbursement was signed.
All right, let me put those emails up on the screen. I believe there's no objection versus this hearing. All right. So this is an email, and Annette Griswold, explain to the judge who Annette Griswold is, please.
Annette Griswold is one of Alex's primary paralegals.
Okay. And right here, this is an email that was ultimately sent to you as part of bringing this to your attention?
Yes.
All right, and what is she asking right there?
She said, why just expenses and no fee?
All right, and what was the response there?
Dear friend, it is only cost because your boss and mine and Liz's got their fees once they were signed.
Okay. So Annette's informing you that Chris Wilson's office says they already got the fees.
Correct.
All right. After that, did you have a conversation with Annette what to do?
I did. I actually talked with Lee Cope. Went to Lee. Sometimes a lot of the partners are not in the office, and Lee Cope was the one who was in the office. So I went to talk to Lee about what we should do. And of course, Annette was worried about getting, you know, ramifications if she was wrong and didn't want to be in trouble. So Lee and I decided to take it over from there. And the course of action that we decided upon was that I would send an email to Annette requesting the disbursement, the supporting documents, and the general ledger printout from Chris Wilson's office, which is what we keep in our office.
All right, and if we go right here, is that the email you're speaking of right there?
That is.
All right, what's the date on that?
May 27th.
All right, and so then what happens to that email from there if we look over to the next page?
So apparently Vicki in Chris Wilson's office was on vacation, so on June 2nd, Annette clarifies with Vicki what exactly we were looking for. And again, she asked for the full disbursement paperwork, including the disbursement sheets, expenses, supporting docs, and ledger.
All right, and you're included on that email?
I am CC'd, yes.
Okay. All right, did y'all ultimately get a response on that?
Vicki responded that she would have to send that email to Chris because she did not have privy to that information. So that was on the 2nd. The next day, Alec came into my office early and asked me why I needed that information and assured me that the money was in Chris Wilson's account and that they could get it anytime.
Okay. And did y'all discuss anything further when you had that conversation?
Just that we needed to get it, or I needed proof that it was there, that it was necessary to get it. At that point, I didn't indicate to him that I thought it was missing. I was just asking for the documentation.
And that was on what day?
It was sometime in between June 2nd and June 7th.
Okay. All right. On June 7th, did the issue come back to a head?
The issue did come back to head.
And just clear, this is June 7th, 2021.
This is, yes.
And how much were these fees supposed to be? Did you know?
$792,000 in total.
And to this point, the firm had not received those fees, is that correct?
That's correct.
And Chris Wilson's office is saying initially we already dispersed them.
Yes. And Chris Wilson's not saying anything to me.
Was, to your knowledge, was an inquiry made to Chris Wilson at that time?
Lee Cope, we had not inquired Chris Wilson other than requesting this information at this point in time.
All right. So tell me about June 7th. How does that go?
So on June 7th, I was going to make another run at finding out from Alec if we had their information. I went upstairs to his office is on the second floor, and he was on a, leaning on a file cabinet outside his office. And he turned and looked at me when I came up and said, "What do you need now?" And gave me a very dirty look, not a look that I'd ever received from Alec from, just kind of frustrated with me look, which made me go, "Oh, you want to know? Let's go in your office." So we went in the office and closed the door, and at that point I told him that I had reason to believe that he had received the funds himself and that I needed proof that he had not.
Received those fees himself?
Yes.
And I needed proof that, they're not?
Yes.
What did he tell you?
He told me again that he assured me that the money was there and that he could get it. And at that point I said, I said, I'm just trying to do my job, and if I don't get this paperwork and verify that with these questions, I'm not doing my job. He actually acted like he respected that and again said that that money was there and that he again was trying to decide what he was going to be doing with it.
And did y'all get to conclude that conversation or did something interrupt him?
We did not. He took a phone call in the middle of that conversation. That phone call was about his father who was in the hospital, that he was going to be terminal and that there was nothing else they'd be able to do for his father. So that changed the mood of the conversation. We quit talking about business and I immediately asked about him and his family and his dad, and you know, we got talking as friends at that point, concern over the family. And after that I shortly left, so it briefed and cut down the conversation.
All right, you'd come in there asking for proof where that money was because you had reason to believe he took it, and then the conversation ultimately got short by the call about his father.
Yes.
Did you have a conversation later in the day with Alec?
I did. Around 4 o'clock my phone rang, and I remember that because I had been under the impression Alec was going to leave and go to the hospital or leave to deal with his father. And around 4 o'clock my office extension rang. And at that point, he was asking me for some information on his 401k balances because he stated he was working on some financials for the hearing on the boat accident that was later in the week.
There was a hearing later in the week, and he was working on financials for the boat accident.
Correct.
Did that strike you as odd?
That he called and asked me?
Yeah.
No, he had asked me before. So, and I would be the one to give him the 401k. So it didn't surprise me that he's calling to ask me about that. But I was surprised that he was in the building working on it.
Now, why was that?
I just thought he was leaving a deal with his father.
Because that interrupted the prior conversation.
That's right.
Is that the last conversation you had with him?
It is.
When did you find out about the murders?
I initially found out through the rumor mill around 10:30 or 11 o'clock the evening of them, but I did not get confirmation until I received a text from the partner roughly 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Were you shocked by that?
Yes.
Scared?
Yes.
Worried?
Yes.
Worried for Alec?
Worried for everybody, yes, especially Alec.
In the wake of the murders, do you know if the hearing that was later that week got canceled?
It did get canceled.
That was a hearing in the boat case where he's personally a defendant?
That's my understanding, yes.
In the wake of the boat case, did you and the partners have a discussion about what to do about getting to the bottom of these Ferris fees?
We did. We did not the week of the murders because pretty much our office shut down the week of the murders, and then his father also passing away. But when we got back around to it, Lee and Mark Ball and I were the ones doing the discussion. Lee decided that he would call Chris Wilson himself directly and try to get the information, and Lee took over from there.
In the wake of the murders, did anyone want to bring that up to Alec again?
No, nobody wanted. Alec was distraught and upset and not in the office much, and nobody wanted to harass him about nothing that we thought was really missing. We had several months till the end of the year to clear it up, so we were not going to harass him at that point in time. But,
So that part just got stopped in his tracks, is that true?
Yes, Lee took over calling Chris Wilson and trying to pursue it.
All right, and when was that? You said in July sometime?
Yes, probably early July.
All right, and what was the result of that?
Lee said, and you could speak to him more clearly, but Lee said Chris Wilson got off the phone pretty quick with him, which was surprising because apparently Chris Wilson has the gift of gab. But again, Chris assured Lee that it was there.
All right. Ultimately, did y'all get an email about that this particular issue?
We did. Ultimately, on July 19th, there was an email from Chris to Alec stating that the money was in Chris Wilson's trust and would have been available anytime that we requested it. That email was forwarded to Lee Cope and myself.
Okay. From whom?
From Alec.
And what is that the email up on the screen that you're talking about right now?
It is.
All right. And we see $600,000 for Andrew Ferris and $192,000 for Denise. Explain that breakdown, if you would, please.
So there's two parties in this case, and apparently there was two recoveries, and each of them would have had a fee dependent upon their recovery. So to me, this looks like Andrew's portion, the fee for his settlement was the $600,000, and Denise's was $192,000.
At this point in time, had the firm received this $792,000?
No.
Did this email, though, sort of end the inquiry, at least for the present moment?
Yes.
All right, well, let's move the story forward again. Did this matter ever come to your attention again at a later time?
Yes.
All right, and how? Tell me when that came to your attention.
That would have been in September, after we found some other misappropriations and we had confronted Alec and he had resigned. We ended up having more conversations with Chris Wilson right after that, and Chris admitted that he did not have all the money.
Let me back it up. Before we get to there, I'm talking about as far as it relates to Alec. Did this particular issue with trying to get the Ferris fees come to your attention? And let me take you to early September of 2021.
No, not that I recall.
Okay. In early September 2021, did the Hirschberger matter that you mentioned earlier, did that come back to your attention?
That came back to my attention. I started pursuing that and decided I was going to go through and look and make sure that he had not tried to already defer something else that we had missed. And at that point, I decided to print a ledger print out of our system of payments to Forge. And as I did that, I started printing all the documents that would relate to those disbursements, the disbursement statements and the canceled checks. And as I started printing the canceled checks off, I could see Bank of America on the back and Alec Murdoch's signature. And everyone that came out was just put it a little bit more in the grave for me. That's when I found that out. I had William Barnes come over, who was a partner who was in there in the office that day, and had him look at them. He also believed that they were Alec's signatures on the back of these checks.
All right, and just real quick, these are checks coming from the client trust account?
Yes.
And they're made out to what?
Forge.
But what's unusual to you that's causing you to have that feeling that you just described?
The endorsement in the Bank of America on the back, and the fact that it looked like Alec's signature.
Okay. All right. And so you talked to William Barnes, is that right?
Yes.
And did you talk to other partners about what you were finding?
We did. William and I then called Mark Ball, who had been aware of this situation the whole time. Mark Ball was the treasurer, so he came back into the office. We showed him the signatures. He agreed with us, and he also recognized one of the disbursements as a case that could not have possibly been dispersed yet because it was held up waiting some court orders for a workers' comp lien. We also talked to Lee Cope that night about it, and we came to the plan for Lee to call Michael Gunn with Forge and see if they had banked at Bank of America. And they had. Michael Gunn confirmed that they had not banked at Bank of America in a number of years.
Did y'all send them a list of clients, of the ones that you were pulling off of your system that had payments to forge at Bank of America?
We did. We gave them a few names that evening, not the complete list. We gave them a few names that we had, and he verified that those to, Michael Gunn verified to Lee Cope that those were not any structures or any nudies and they didn't have records of them.
All right, around this time, did Annette bring you anything and that this is all going on?
Yes, so this is completely independent and coincidental. Annette, the same afternoon of September 2nd, was in his office trying to look for something. And when she moved a file, a check fell out. When the check fell out, she looked down and it was Chris Wilson, and it was the $225,000 check payable to Richard Alexander Murdoch that we'd already found.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 313, states for purposes of this hearing. You recognize that?
That is. That's the check.
This is the actual check that was found. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Hold on for me real quick. It's got an endorsement on the back. Let me ask you this. You've worked with Alec Murdoch for how long?
23 years, roughly.
During that time, did you become familiar with his handwriting?
Yes.
Can you recognize it when you see it?
Yes.
Looking at the handwriting, the endorsement on the back of that document, do you recognize it?
That's his signature
and handwriting.
Where do you have copies of these various exhibits for the court?
Yes, sir. Your Honor, if you'll just give me 1 second, I'll hand the exhibits we're talking about up to the court as well. But up on the screen, is this the check?
Yes. Yes.
And then on the back, whose writing is that?
Alex.
Once you started printing out all those forged ones that had Alex writing on it at Bank of America, and you contacted Forge, did you ask them whether or not they ever banked the real Forge, if they ever banked at Bank of America?
Lee Cope had that conversation, and Michael Gunn verified that they had not banked there in a number of years, more than 10 years.
And they didn't have any active structures on any of the clients that y'all had given them?
That's correct.
As a result of that, what did the leadership at the firm do next?
We convened a meeting on the morning of Friday, September 3rd at Lee Cope's house with the majority of the partners and myself present. We discussed what we had found and showed everybody the documentation that we had recovered. And then the choice was made. Randy was not present initially. The choice was made to bring Randy in and show him what we had found.
And after Randy was brought in and showed what was found, what happened next?
Randy immediately conceded that we needed to talk to Alec, that it looked like he had stolen. And Danny and Randy got together and met with Alec outside of the office.
Okay. And did they confront him with this information?
They did. And it is my understanding that Alec admitted it and that it was determined he would resign.
Yeah. Did he ask for a leave of absence to your...
I think he tried to do a few other things before resigning, but we made him resign.
After the decision was made to resign, was it announced right away, or was there any statement put out or anything like that right away?
It was not announced right away because the decision was made. Johnny Parker was getting married the next day, and it was late on a Friday, and that we were going to kind of hold off until the first of the week. We were going to contact some ethics attorneys and see what we needed to do and announce it the first of the week.
So we're in the weekend, September 3rd, September 4th, something like that?
Yes.
Is that Labor Day weekend?
Yes.
What's the next thing you recall hearing about Alec?
The next thing I heard about Alec was I was actually with my family on the sandbar, and the next thing I heard was Suzanne Peoples with the EMS came down and told me that Alec had been shot in the head and was being flown out to Savannah.
Was that on the side of the road at Old Saucahatchee?
That's correct.
What's the first thing you thought when you heard he had been shot?
You know, nobody knew what to think. A lot of thoughts went through, but fear went through. Was this retaliation? Was he involved in something bigger that was going to get more of us in trouble? And just fear.
All right. As the months went on after that, did y'all continue to review your records looking for additional misappropriations?
We did. We immediately decided, once we found this out on September 2nd and had the confrontation on the 3rd, we immediately started doing a dig into our books and proactively going to look for anything. And anything that we found, we turned over to law enforcement. We also had a forensic audit from an outside firm come in and provided information from them. So this took most of September, gathering all this information and going through all of our stuff to figure out what else we had missed or what else had occurred.
You've already described the checks to the Forge account at Bank of America, which was a fake Forge account, is that correct?
That's right.
Was there another manner in which Alec Murdoch misappropriated money that you uncovered in your review of the firm's records as CFO?
Yes, we've also found out some payments made through Palmetto State Bank.
Okay, and generally explain how those were working.
So those were working, some of those Russell Lafitte was the conservator on, and funds were directed to Palmetto State Bank as if they were going to be held for the beneficiary. And those checks were later converted into personal use for Alec.
All right.
And incidentally, the week after we, of the roadside shooting, when we were going through stuff in Alec's office, we actually found Forge, R. Alexander Murdoch, doing business at Forge bank statements in his office.
Okay, so you found the Bank of America bank statements?
Yes.
And the title on those bank statements was what?
R. Alexander Murdoch, doing business as Forge.
Okay. I'm going to get a document marked, if I could, real quick. Do the client trust account checks, what color are they?
Green.
All right. And the operating checks, are they a different color?
Blue.
Your Honor, 314 for this hearing. This will be the spreadsheet that's in one of the folders in the packet I just gave you. It starts at the top, the check date 12-26-18. And I'm going to show you what's been marked as states 314 for this hearing and see if you recognize that document.
Yes, this is a spreadsheet that we've developed of the money and the clients that had money stolen using the forged payment method.
All right. And by the forged payment method, you mean what?
Basically checks payable to Forge that looked like they were going to be for a structured annuity on the behalf of the client.
All right, and again, for the purposes of this hearing, in preparing that chart, you've been keeping a chart and keeping these records, is that correct?
That's right.
Is this all the misappropriations, or is this focused just on some for purposes of a particular category?
This is just for purposes of this particular category.
And what category is that again?
Forge.
All right, I'm going to put this up on the screen. And just real quick, if you could just go across and tell me what the various categories represent, please.
Excuse me. The categories, if you see the column with category, Forge payment, those would be where checks were actually written to Forge as if those were the beneficiary's proceeds that were being sent for a structured annuity.
Okay.
The next line where it says Barrett Boulware took insurance proceeds, this is actually a check that was payable to Barrett Barrett Bulwer from Southern Fidelity Insurance. And Alec actually endorsed that check. He had power of attorney on that file. He actually endorsed that check, and later we were able to trace it into his personal accounts.
All right.
If you keep going down, the majority of these are forged payment. If you get to Dion Martin, the first line says fake.
Just real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just going across, though, we've got the client, we've got the civil action number, we've got the category that you were just describing, we got the date the trust was funded, and then we have the amount. Is that
That's
correct?
Right.
And the date the trust was funded, what does that category refer to?
That refers to when we found out and did the deep dive into exactly what had happened on each file and deposited the money back immediately into our client trust. So that's the firm actually, as we found these, put money in client trust. We then met with all the clients, reestablished what the correct disbursements should have been, and returned all funds to the clients.
So the firm had to pay the money back that you've determined in each one of these cases that Alec Murdoch misappropriated through the fake forge on this list.
We did.
What's the total amount on this sheet?
$2,841,512.55.
All right. And again, does this represent everything or just a particular category?
Just a particular category.
Just real quick, I see that says 129.11 for Thomas Moore. Is that supposed to be 21?
Yes. And that would be the date and the check number of the check that was taken.
I'm going to hand Exhibit 314 up to you. And if you could correct that with my pen here, and then just put your initials next to it, please. Going back to Exhibit 314, if we look at all the check dates on here, we have the earliest one being about August of 2015. Is that correct?
That's right.
And then it continues all the way up to early 2021. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Along with your spreadsheet that was just marked, have you also prepared some supporting documentation for each one of those transactions of misappropriation that you've identified?
Yes, we have.
And these are from the records and your investigation into the records at the firm?
That's correct.
And each one of these, has the firm had to make the clients whole because of the defendant's misappropriation?
We did.
All right, I'm going to show you what's been marked as 315, and this is a particular case is Elise Mallory. And just as an example, and see if you recognize that document.
I do. This first document is the disbursement, which would have been drafted at the end of the case, that states the recovery, expenses, fees, and payments to clients. Next, we have this one actually had a payment to forge, so I have a copy of that canceled check. And then the third and fourth pages are where we did our correcting disbursements with footnotes about what had happened and explained everything to our clients when we reimbursed them.
Okay. Put that up on the screen real quick. And are there similar documents, supporting documents for each one of these transactions that's on your spreadsheet?
There is.
All right. So this is a disbursement sheet, is that right?
That's correct.
And I didn't ask you, but very quickly, tell me what a disbursement sheet is and how they're supposed to work.
So a disbursement sheet just shows at the conclusion of a case, once the recovery, it will show the recovery amount, list out the fees that were sent to the attorneys, shows fee splits if there's multiple attorneys, shows the amount of expenses we collect back, any liens or loans that were payable that were in the scope of that case, and then the final amount would be the payment to the client or the client's beneficiaries if they had beneficiaries.
All right. And then down here at the bottom of this particular one, do you recognize that signature?
Yes, that's Alex.
Okay. And Going to the second page, what is this right here?
That is a copy of the check that was payable to Forge that you saw on the bottom line of that other disbursement, as well as the back of it showing the endorsement.
All right. And is that the real Forge or the fake Forge?
That's the fake Forge.
All right. And then what is this document right here?
This is the correcting disbursement. The yellow totals would signify what the correct amount should have been and the corrections that would needed to have been made.
All right, going back to this first page, in this particular one, how much was the recovery?
$183,528.
All right, and then was there an attorney fee taken from PMPED?
There was an attorney fee taken. In this case, it was $30,000, which was a reduced fee. We generally get a third or 40%, but there are instances where the attorney will reduce their fee for some reasons.
And do you know why who requested the fees be reduced in this case?
That would be Alec would have done that.
Alec did that, and so but those fees got paid to the firm from that recovery, correct?
They did.
All right, great. So the rest of that money went to the client, didn't it?
It did not. It actually went to the fake Forge account where Alec stole the money from the client.
Every last bit of it.
Every bit. The $152,866.
That client didn't get one dime until y'all had to make it right.
That's right.
And that's similar to the rest of the examples we have.
It's exactly like the rest.
Been going on for years.
Yes.
Documentation like that for each one of these, and they're in the packet up there. I'm happy to go through all of those in the with the witness. I don't want to sell myself short if I need to. I don't know if the point for purposes of your honor is made, or if you would like me to go through each one of those. I'm happy to keep going.
Who's this, Mr. Griffin? Is this yours?
So if you.
Just one moment, Your Honor.
Summary of everything, Ms. Seckinger?
Ms. Seckinger, yes.
Ms. Seckinger is.
I can do that from the spreadsheet, Your Honor. And then we're marking the supporting documentation, which I'll go ahead and mark. But I think with Ms. Seckinger, we can kind of walk through each one and describe each one while we do that. But each packet has. We've got this spreadsheet that has each one on there, and then for each one of them, we tried to minimize it down to the bare minimum. And again, this isn't even all of the misappropriation, but we've got just have a few supporting documents for each one, which is the disbursement sheet, the fake forged check typically, and then the corrected disbursement sheet that the firm had to do. That's generally what each packet has, for example, like the one we last did. Is that correct, Ms. Sessions?
That's correct.
And so I can go through those quickly, and we can do that on the spreadsheet. And then we have one other category that they uncovered of manner in which he was able to misappropriate money going back to, I think, 2008, 2009, something like that.
You may proceed.
Thank you. All right. So, Your Honor, we're going through that packet that was provided up there with you, and we're going to go in order except for Hirschberger, which we already talked about. And so, Ms. Seckinger, can you see okay on that screen there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to just kind of move through these as expeditiously but as accurately as we can. First one, we have this particular client, Ms. Adriana. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. And I'm going to put 317 up on the screen. And is this the disbursement sheet for that?
That is the disbursement sheet for that, yes.
All right. And down at the bottom, do you recognize the signature where it says attorney?
That's Alec's signature.
All right. And would typically the attorneys meet with the clients and get them to sign these disbursement sheets before any disbursements were made?
Typically, we did the checks on the attorney's signature, and then the attorney met with the client and had them signed at the same time they distributed and discussed the disbursement.
Gotcha. All right, and then right here on this particular one, we have a total recovery amount of how much?
$247,500.
All right, and then the firm gets paid its fees out of that.
And again, that looks like a reduced fee of $22,000.
And what happens to the rest of the money?
The $225,073.46 went to a fake Forge account that was for Alec's benefit.
All right, and is that the check right there?
That is.
Whose signature is that right there?
That's Alec's.
All right, and that's 225 and change, and then you have the corrected disbursement sheet, is that correct?
That's correct.
And this is where the firm had to make good on Alec's misappropriation?
That's correct.
All right, let's move to the next one. This would be for Mr. Barrett, using the first name, is that correct?
That's right, Barrett Bulware.
All right, and just using the first name, we have this first one is the 75-193, is that right?
That is the check I discussed earlier that was payable to Barrett that Alec endorsed directly and deposited into his account.
All right, and I'm on Exhibit 318. We're going to the third page, but is this that check right here that was made out to Mr. Bulware?
That is, and that was actually found as we went through his desk after September 3rd.
All right, and you recognize that writing right there? I can zoom in if you need to.
That's Alec's writing.
All right, and this is the deposit slip went along with it?
Yes.
And what's the name right there?
Alec Murdoch.
All right, going to the next one on the list, we have this one, and the amount is $279,850.65, is that right?
That's correct.
All right, and we're still in Exhibit 318. And this is the disbursement sheet, the original disbursement sheet right there?
That's correct.
Whose signature is down at the bottom?
That's Alec Murdoch's.
And what does that say right there?
$279,000. $850.65. Payable to forge.
Fake forge or real forge?
Fake.
All right. And then what is that right there?
That's the check payable to forge showing Alec signing it and endorsement on the back.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next one. We have, this is Hirschberger. We already did that one, correct?
That's correct.
Well, yeah, we already did that one. All right. Let's go on. And we did the next two. Those were those two fees that Alec told you he was structuring?
That's right.
All right, or at least this one was, correct?
That's right.
All right, let's go on to Ms. Gary. This is States 319. This is the disbursement sheet right here?
That is the initial disbursement sheet.
Okay, and what is that right there?
Excuse me, that is not the initial, that's the second one. So there's a forged structure right there of 112.5. A payment of the personal rep and the amount divvied between the beneficiaries. That forged structure should have been paid to the beneficiaries, and again, it was paid to the fake forged account.
All right.
You see the check signed by Alec and endorsed by Alec.
All right, so that's 112.5 right there, correct?
That's right.
And then you have the corrected disbursement where y'all had to make right to the clients.
That's correct.
All right. Moving on to the next one. We have Mr., and I'm going to use their first names. Use that for me if you can, please.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we have this. You have this disbursement right here. Is that correct?
That's right.
And whose signature is that right there?
Alec Murdoch's.
And we got how much?
$750,000.
Going to what?
Fake forge.
The fake forge, is that correct?
That's right.
And then we have the check.
That we do.
And who's that? Do you recognize that on the back?
That is Alec Murdoch's.
Okay, and this is $750,000?
That's correct.
All right. And then we have another disbursement sheet where y'all had to correct it and make it right to the client?
That's correct.
Y'all had to pay back $750,000?
We did.
That Alec spent?
We
did. Client money?
We did. He stole it.
All right. Let's go to the next one. Dion Martin. We have three for Mr. Martin. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Let's look at that. We have...
So you have a little new category here. You see the above where it says structured annuity directly to Michael Gunn for $500,000, mm-hmm. and then it's offset by the proceeds structured annuity below. Mm-hmm. This would represent like there was an annuity associated with that case that had been properly structured and sent, and that resulted in there being a $200,000 fee taken on that $500,000 that should not have been taken from the client.
So just a sleight of hand with paperwork, and Alec created a phantom real $200,000 in fees from thin air.
That's right.
All right. But that's not the end of this one, is it?
No.
Okay. All All right, right here on the second page, we have a disbursement to Forge. Is that correct?
That's right.
And is that real Forge or fake Forge?
That's the fake Forge.
How much is that one?
$338,056.14.
Okay. Now, we already talked about on this list, we talked about the fake fee of $200,000 that you just mentioned.
That's right.
And we did the $338,056.
That's right.
14. Okay, let's keep going. And what's that?
That's the check for the $338,000 that's payable to the fake Forge and endorsed by Alec.
All right. And then what is this disbursement sheet?
This one is showing a structured payment of $45,000. And this one, incidentally, had a quote attached to it and is signed by the client. And that also went to the fake Forge account and his personal account. This is a copy of the quote from Forge.
But no Forge structure was ever materialized.
No, no was done. We verified none was ever done.
All right. And what is that $45,000 check there?
This is the $45,000 check to the fake Forge deposited by Alec.
And is this the disbursement sheet where y'all had to correct it and make it right to the client?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to the next one. We have Elise Mallory, and that's the one I showed you at the beginning. It is an example.
That's right.
All right. So we've done that one, and that was 183,528, where he took every last dime of it. Is
that's
that correct?
Right.
Ms. Clark.
Yeah. All right, the last one I talked about was 321. The one before that was 320, and the one before that was 319. We are now on 322. Let me turn the page. And we have Mr. Jamian, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, and right here we've got a disbursement sheet, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, and we have a Forge of $90,000?
That's correct.
All right, and is that real Forge or fake Forge?
Fake Forge.
Okay, and what is this right here, sideways?
That is the check payable to Forge, the fake Forge, and the endorsement on the back of the check.
All right, and then we have an expense disbursement right there of 5541.17, is that correct?
That's correct.
And is that another amount that y'all had identified?
We identified later that that was an incorrect charge to a client file, so we reimbursed that as well.
Okay, and is this that page right here?
Yes.
And what did Alec bill to the client that y'all determined was improper?
Some airfare.
To where?
On a private flight. I can't recall, but I believe that one might have been down to the Keys.
All right. Did y'all have to pay that money back too in this corrected disbursement?
We did.
That was Exhibit 322. We got 333. Mr. Johnny, $95,000. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, on the first page, we have the disbursement sheet, and we have a Forge line right here for $95,000.
That's correct.
And did that go to the real Forge or the fake Forge?
Fake Forge.
Okay, we have a copy of the check right there. Is that correct?
That's a copy of the check and the endorsement, right, and a copy of the correcting disbursement.
Y'all had to make that right to the client?
We did.
Moving on to 324. Mr. Jordan, we got a disbursement to Forge, is that right?
That's right, for $85,000 along with the fake check and the endorsement on the check.
Okay. And then the corrected disbursement, correct?
You missed the one for $65,000. There was two in that one.
Yep, there it is right there.
That's right. And there's then the correcting.
All right. So we had an $85,000 and a $65,000 for that one, correct?
Correct.
Exhibit 325, this is now Mr. Manuel, and we have a $70,000 Forge, is that correct?
That's correct.
Fake Forge?
Fake Forge.
All right, and what's that right there?
The check payable to Forge, the fake Forge, and the endorsement, and this is the correcting disbursement where we paid the client back that
$70,000. All right. Going to the next one, we got Miss Mary, and we got a settlement proceeds to Forge of $19,500 right there. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And this is Exhibit 326. And did that go to real Forge or fake Forge?
The fake Forge.
All right. And what is that right there?
Copies of the check to fake Forge and the endorsement on the back by Alec.
All right. And then the corrected disbursement, having to pay the money back?
Correct.
By the firm? All right. Going on to Mr. Randy. Right here, we've got a disbursement of $9,569.30 on Exhibit 327.
Correct.
All right. Next page, we have what?
The copy of the check payable to the fake forge and the endorsement by Alec on the back of it.
All right. And then the correction disbursement?
Correct.
All right. And last one for this set is Exhibit 328, and we have Thomas Moore. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And whose signature is that right there?
That is Alex.
And the amount to forge of $125,000, is that right?
Incidentally, that's a forged signature for the client. The client confirmed that when we met with them.
Do you recognize that handwriting?
It appears to me to be Alex printing.
On the disbursement sheet?
Yes, sir.
All right, and then we have the fake check right there?
That's correct.
Or the fake forged check, and then that's all on that one for right now, is that correct?
Well, it's partial correction, okay. Yeah.
All right. Things like this going on in a lot of cases that Alec had? Fair amount?
Well, we found them in these several cases, and in the scope of all cases, not so much. I mean, we have a ton of volume, so this doesn't represent a large proportion of those, but this was common with them.
And that's my point, is
yes.
That there's a large volume, and
yes.
These are sprinkled throughout over years and years and years.
Sprinkled out over a decade or better.
Whenever there was an opportunity, it happened.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to show you. Let me get a couple more documents marked. All right. I'll show you what's been marked as Exhibit 329 here to this proceeding, and see if you recognize that.
I do. This is a spreadsheet of the payments that were made to Palmetto State Bank and misappropriated through that method.
All right, you testified earlier that the fake forge account, the Richard Alexander Murdoch DBA forge, started around 2015, is that right?
That's correct.
But you just uncovered a different mechanism whereby Alec Murdoch misappropriated money from clients prior to that, is that correct?
That's correct. Most of these took place in 2011, 2012.
Okay. And did Alec have some particularly big cases in those years?
He did.
And what were those cases?
So he had Arthur Badger, which was against a UPS truck in Allendale, where his wife was killed, and I believe a couple children hurt. There were several beneficiaries in that case. In that same wreck, well, then he had another one with Hakeem Pickney, who in that same wreck had a cousin in the car named Natasha Thomas.
Okay. Let's talk about the Badger case. What was the total settlement in that particular case?
In the Badger case, the total that was apportioned to Arthur Badger was $3.1 million. There was also a companion case, Donna Badger, with a good bit apportioned to it as well. I can't really call the number right here right off the top of my head.
All right. But just for Arthur Badger, he was just one of the clients that Alec had, correct?
Right.
Just for Arthur Badger, what was the attorney fee that he received in that settlement?
He received $1,240,000.
The firm did.
The firm did.
But that would be ultimately on his books at the end of the year.
It would be credited him.
$1,260,000, is that right?
$1,240,000.
Is that all the money that Alec received from that particular case once y'all did your review?
That is not.
What else did Alec take?
$1,325,000.
Another $1.325 million, is that right?
That's right.
And how did he go about doing that?
Checks were payable to Palmetto State Bank that were then converted into personal items, payments for bank loans, payments for loans from a conservator account, payments to Johnny Parker, I believe it was, one to his father for paying back personal loans that they had given him.
And so we've got now what's been marked as Exhibit 329 up on the screen. I'll let the sirens go by. Guess I'll just talk over them. All right, we've got on this one at the top, we have Mr. Arthur Badger, is that right?
That's right.
And we have the date, and we have the amount, which is how much?
$1,360,000, and that is because we returned the PR fee in that case as well, because the PR failed to do their job properly.
Okay. And I'm going to show you what's been marked for this hearing is 330, and is this the disbursement sheet?
Yes, sir.
And down here, we have Palmetto State Bank payment to fund structure per client request. Is that right?
That's right.
And that's the $1.325 million?
That's correct.
And did that go to the client?
No.
I see there's an email right here. Who is that from and to, and what's the date on that? You need me to bring it to you?
So this email is from Russell to Alec. Doesn't look right. There was an email that came from Alec to Russell asking if we could recut the checks in a certain way. Then Russell independently sent an email to Alec, which was forwarded to me and my accounting staff, asking if we could recut the $1.3 million check into four different checks.
And did y'all do that?
We did.
Have any reason at all to mistrust what was going on at that time?
No.
All right. So ultimately...
And ultimately, those got broken down into all these payments. This is the payments of how these checks were written. And what benefit they went to.
And they were made out to what entity?
Palmetto State Bank.
And then after they were made out to Palmetto State Bank, what happened to them?
They got converted to personal usage for Alec Murdoch's benefit.
Real quick, I see the spreadsheet says July 2005. I'm going to point you to this disbursement, though. What's the date on that disbursement?
November 2012.
So is that an error that needs to be corrected?
I'm sure that that's an error that needs to be corrected.
I'm going to bring your spreadsheet. Let's do that real quick. I'm going to give you a pen and... Let's talk about another case. I'm looking now at Exhibit 332, and we go back to your spreadsheet, and we have Natasha Thomas. Do you recognize that?
I do.
All right. And what was the amount on that particular one?
There were two payments. One was for $325,000 even. The other one was $25,245.08.
All right. And looking at Exhibit 332, we have down here at the bottom, we have a payment, and it says what entity right there?
Palmetto State Bank.
For $325?
Yes.
So was a check cut from the trust account for $325?
Yes.
And is that it right there?
That is it.
And did that money go to the client?
No, that money went for Alec's benefit.
All right. Did y'all have to pay that back and make that right for his misappropriation?
We did pay that back.
All right.
What you're seeing now is just all the different payments that were made from that money.
Those were converted at the bank into personal use for Alec?
That's correct.
All right, we're looking at the second check for how much is that?
$25,245.08.
All right, and that's made out to what entity?
Palmetto State Bank.
From the client trust account?
Correct.
Did that go to the client or did that go somewhere else?
That went to Alec's personal use again.
All right, and did y'all ultimately have to make that right?
We did.
Last one is Mr. Hakeem, correct?
That's correct.
Is that in a companion case to Ms. Thomas?
It is.
Got two misappropriations, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Looking at this disbursement sheet we have right here on the disbursement sheet, what entity is that?
Palmetto State Bank.
For how much?
$309,581.46.
All right, and that's signed by who on this?
Russell Lafitte as conservator.
Right. And is that the check right there?
That is the check.
Made out to what entity?
Palmetto State Bank.
And what year?
December 2011.
Okay. And did that money go to the client?
It did not.
Did y'all ultimately have to pay that back?
We did.
And then finally, $60,000 for
the PR fee again. We decided to pay the PR fee back.
And that's the PR fee right there for Mr. Lafitte. Is that correct?
That's right.
The one who signed that disbursement sheet.
That's correct.
You mentioned Russell Lafitte. Do you have a relation to Russell Lafitte?
Russell Lafitte is my brother-in-law. He's married to my husband's sister.
June 7th, 2021, you came in demanding answers about those Ferris fees, correct?
That's correct.
And that conversation ended because he got a call about his father, correct?
That's correct.
And the inquiry got pushed to the side because of the tragedy of the murder of Maggie and Paul, is that correct?
That's correct.
And additionally, Alec called you about having to get finances together for a hearing in the boat case later that week, is that correct?
That's correct.
And that hearing got canceled as a result of the tragedy of the murder of Maggie and Paul.
That's correct.
And ultimately, in July, y'all received an email from Chris Wilson saying the money was in the account, is that correct?
That's correct.
What did you later find out about whether not all that money was in the account?
We found out after September 3rd that all that money was not in the account. Chris Wilson called us and actually wanted us to pony up the other portion of the money.
And what portion was that?
There was a couple $100,000 that was still missing.
And once, a few months later, your attention got turned back to these matters and you ran that inquiry. then the whole thing started to unravel. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Not further this time, Your Honor.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Do you have an idea about how long you plan to be? Right. So we'll take a break now for about 10 minutes.
That wraps up segment two of coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. There are still three more to go here on the feed for you today as they continue in sequential order. Press subscribe so you don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.